This is a Jeff Galloway podcast.
Welcome to 3-2-1 Go the podcast. I'm John Pelkey.
And I'm Carissa Galloway, and we're bringing you stories from start to finish to keep the everyday athlete motivated to keep moving towards the next finish.
All right, Carissa, today we're joined by the inspiring and record-setting brothers, Brent and Kyle Peace, who just finished the Ironman World Championship for the second time, and they did it in a record-setting fashion, finishing in 14 hours, 8 minutes, and 4 seconds. We chatted with the Peace brothers last year. We're excited to have them back to celebrate this amazing accomplishment.
Yep, and for those of you who are not familiar with them, they did dopey last year in 2024, but Kyle was born with cerebral palsy, and when Brent did his first Ironman, he asked, can people in wheelchairs do that? And the answer was yes. 6 Ironman races later, they've logged more than miles. They've raised millions for athletes with disabilities, and amazingly, over $1 million just by doing the Ironman World Championships for the Kyle Peace Foundation. So we are thrilled to chat with them about everything that happened in Kona, little preview of what they're looking forward to at Dopey. And John, before we get to Marathon Weekend, do you know what I'm going to be doing on January 1st?
Nursing a hangover?
I am not. Uh-oh. Maybe both, but I'm going to be doing the Magic Mile because January 1st, New Year's Day, is Magic Mile Day. Magic Mile is a training component of the Galloway system, and on January 1st, it's a great day to get out, do a mile, see where your fitness is to start the year. So keep an eye on the Galloway socials for more. We might even have a little meetup here in Orlando. But thank you to our listeners. If you love us, hit that subscribe button. Consider being a supporter using the link below, and let's do this.
All right, Brent and Kyle, so great to have you back. First of all, let everyone out there listening know, how are you guys and where are you?
We are doing well, gearing up for the holiday season, and we are in a rainy night in Georgia right now.
All right, rainy night in Georgia.
Right, we had like cold Orlando weather, so it's been that gray, and I was explaining to Claire, like, this is what winter is like when you live like up north, like this is the whole thing, it's that gray, like blah, but I love that you're getting ready for the holidays. Brent's got the Starbucks cup there. Enjoy. I like it. I notice those things. All right. We are so excited to have you guys here because we want to talk about your Ironman World Championship finish. And spoiler alert, I think most people know that you, in fact, finished and crossed the Ironman World Championship finish line for a second time. Kyle, what did it feel like when you hit that red carpet this year?
It was truly a special moment. I think I'm over there. Brent and I will never take for granted. I think that it meant more this second time around, taking nothing away from the first time. The first time was just special, and you'll never be able to relive the first time. But the second time, for me, I did a lot of self-scouting of the course and all that, so I knew kind of what to expect, and it was still very hard and very challenging. But it was just a moment that you'll never forget, and like I have told everybody, it's the most fun that you never want to have again. But you keep going back and you keep going back. So,
it's a perfect way to put it.
I love that. The most fun that you never want to have. That is, I've never heard that, but that is absolutely true of any, I mean, really any race. All right. Brent, same question to you. We've seen the photo of you guys finishing, which is just epic. But like, can you describe the feeling in that moment?
So when we did it in 2018, I was not prepared for mentally how excruciating the marathon is. I mean, in an Ironman, everybody would be, I mean, people are probably sitting here that have done Ironmans and going, well, what did you think? It's a marathon. But I just mean that, like every other Ironman that I've done with Kyle, like when we got to that marathon, it was a foregone conclusion. Like, we will finish the day if we have to crawl, but in Kona, it was so difficult. And so when I got to the finish line, I had envisioned that finish line for so long that I really don't feel like I appreciated it. I charged up the hill. I was waiting for Mike Riley's voice and I was with Kyle, and it was still amazing. It was an incredible experience to hear them call Kyle's name and to look down at him. But I knew that I wanted to really soak it all up. And so this year, Kyle and I talked about it on a training ride just about 6 weeks before the race. We're like, we just have to be grateful about everything. If it's hard, we're going to be grateful. If it's raining, we're going to be grateful, like no matter what. And when we get to that finish line, it's going to all be about gratitude. And I looked for every single KPF supporter I could find. One of our buddies, Ian, who made the belt we showed you guys, he about fell over the railing. He was so excited. But I didn't see that the first time. And so when you see that finish line photo, when I start screaming with Kyle and my head's looking up to the sky, that's all the emotion of the prior 2 years. That's all the emotion of the six Ironmans we've done together just pouring out of me, because I had experienced everything I wanted in the race. I was able to enjoy all those little moments, the good ones and the bad ones. And that just made that finish so special for me.
I think that's so important what you said about like seeing the people, because I do think we get into these races and we get into, whether it's the pain cave or to the point in the race where we talked about this last week with my marathon, where it's like, I'm not meeting my goal. I'm not doing what I want. And you shut down. And I think it's so important because of the gratitude that if you don't see what's around, if you don't take in that experience, you know, at the end of the day, you didn't make the most of it. Before we move on, I just selfishly want to know, who called you across the line? Was it Paul Kay?
It was Paul. Yeah.
How'd he do?
It was awesome.
He's great.
He was great. And like my daughter's name is Caroline, and I know this wasn't on purpose, but like right before we got there, they had started playing Sweet Caroline, which she actually does not like.
I don't either, but that's because Weston dated the Caroline in high school. But anyway.
So they're playing that. Everybody's singing. Everybody's like, the vibes are high. And he keeps saying, hey, the Pease brothers are getting closer. The Pease, like at this point, the people at the finish line, they knew the story if they didn't already. And certainly our supporters that were all there waiting for us. You know, Kona's an interesting race because once we get on the Queen K, it's really hard for the supporters to come out there. It's illegal in the Energy Lab to be anywhere near anybody. And so for most of our supporters, once they see us on Ali'i Drive and they see us go up Palani, when we turn onto the Queen K Highway, they leave us. And Kyle and I are on our own. We learned that lesson in 18. We're on our own from like mile 8.5-ish till 25.5 when we start to see our friends again. Mm-hmm. And so their anticipation has been building, building, building. And I think Paul did such a wonderful job of kind of creating that excitement, not just for us, but the other stories that were coming in at that time that late. So it was really great. I love watching the video and listening to him describe us as brothers and coming across together.
I think you did a wonderful job as well of explaining the kind of people they did briefly and what, you know, why we were lazy, just not for itself, but for the kind of people they did. So you did a great job. I had to go back and I had to watch it like several times because the finish line was such a blur. And if you look at me, like, I look like a deer in the headlights. So, and once until a couple of days after that, it really hit me that we did it a second time.
All right. Well, listen, I'm going to bank that thing about Sweet Caroline and Carissa. I did not know that. I'm going to keep
like
that in my
YMCA
pocket for race weekend.
Least favorite song. Sweet Caroline, like in the top 10 least favorite songs. At YMCA, least favorite song.
I hate the YMCA too. So, you know, we both have to suffer.
Where do you guys
that
stand?
One.
YMCA fans, not fans?
Fan. And I'm a huge fan of Sweet Caroline. It's not why we named our daughter Caroline, but I went to the Kentucky Derby 1 year and the bars, this was pre-exercise, the bars, the Derby, they're open to like four in the morning. And we went to someplace and I think we sang Sweet Caroline for the last hour before they turned the lights on. And, you know, the energy, like, I get it, but there's a few songs that work perfectly. I mean, you guys capture this energy. Like, that was the thing that blew me away when we did Dopey last year. Like, I knew it was going to be a cool experience. I had no idea how much fun that is. And in the intensity of an Ironman, it's hard to do that. Like, you guys do such a wonderful job. It's Disney. You're already there. You're in Disney. Ironman Hawaii, the Ironman World Championships, is supposed to be Disney. It's the thing that everybody wants to do. But when you've got, you know, 2,500 of really intense athletes, sometimes it's hard to capture that. And like, kudos to the to Paul and the
DJ,
team that are just the DJ that's capturing that energy, so that when we get there, it's not just because Kyle and I are finishing. It's because everybody's like connected as a community. It's the best. It's like, it makes it so much sweeter.
But Kyle, yeah, do you like the YMCA, the song? I just want to know. It's okay if you do.
You know,
may not be okay.
I like the beat, but I've never been able to do the YMCA. So I do my own little YMCA thing. So, yeah, it's catchy.
He's more of a Sandstorm guy.
I'm down with Sandstorm.
Yep.
Yeah. Absolutely. John and I just not YMCA fans. They used to play it for me on the red carpet the last hour of Ironman's because they knew how much I didn't like it. And then you have to do it and you have to be into it and you have to be 100%. Like Mike Riley didn't like the song Unbelievable. So that's why they play it for him. So anyway, that's your YMCA.
Wait,
what's
the song that y'all can't play for John then? We know your songs. John, what's the song you don't get to play?
It's YMCA.
Oh, it's YMCA.
For me. And here's the thing. Understand that I am 60 years old. So when YMCA came out and the Village People, it was a big deal. So it was one of those songs that whether you liked it or not, it was played so often that it literally played you out of liking it. And then years later, I come into doing sports announcing, not realizing, because I'm not really, you know, the guy to buy the Jock Jam CD, not realizing that, oh my God, they still do this in every sporting venue everywhere. And it gets people going. I fully admit to it.
Understand.
So I try just to silently curse whoever decided to play it while I'm announcing. And I'm still trying to wrap my head around the fact that you have to do like 19 miles without any distractions out there on the course, without people, you know, taking your mind off it. But I do want to jump back a little bit because we've talked about it here on a number of occasions. Ironman, they're hard. Ironman races are hard. Kona, you've talked about it today. Another level. You've done it in 2018. You know, obviously, such an accomplishment. You're talking about not even really being able to take it in. Whose idea was it to go back and do it again? And what was really the driving force behind that? And I'll throw it out to both of you.
It wasn't either one of our ideas. It was our director of development. And she brought the idea to both of us. And once she brought it, do I take it? For me, I got my head around it. It took me a couple months, but I finally got my head around it. And I'll let Brett explain it a little bit more while we were out the corner. But it was for something bigger than me and Brett. It was for the Kyle Peace Foundation that has really gone beyond the racing. It's a family. It's a lot like Disney. You know, when we were there last year, it felt like a family atmosphere. When you got an MC on the stage, because you're a field reporter, it just felt like everybody was in a happy moment. And that's what we try to copy is we want them to forget about their disabilities. It be included instead of excluded. We're talking about why we did it.
This is why we're good at endurance sports. You know, you guys asked us if we liked YMCA, and then we gave you like a 5-minute speech on the finish line, and then you just asked Kyle whose idea it was, and like he just gave you a long speech on the foundation.
And then told you to answer. No, just kidding. We love it.
You can. This is why Ironman's good for us, because it keeps our little pea brains attention, because we just have to focus. We can't let our minds wander. As Kyle said, the director of development, when we hired her and we were explaining, like, here's how we've raised money over the years, these are the ways. And she had met us in Hawaii. Mm-hmm. And she said, well, let's do Hawaii again. And I said, Morgan, I would do it in a heartbeat. It's one of the greatest experiences of my life. But, you know, we can't just go back. Like, we had our shot to do it, and that was special. And there was people that had lined up that were ready to write checks, companies that were ready to sponsor us when we did it the first time. I said, there has to be a deeper purpose for Kyle and I to get to experience this again personally. Because once that gun went off, it was me and Kyle. Getting to the finish line had no bearing on the impact that was trying to be created for the foundation. So at that moment, it's personal. And so credit to Morgan, to Kyle, to our to the team here that kind of came up with the reason, which I can go into, which was to increase our inclusive employment program. So we have 6 employees with disabilities that work for the foundation. We've focused currently, most of our employees have severe physical limitations. I mean, Kyle types with one finger, Kevin types with his eyes, and we've tried to make that an inclusive experience for them. And so the Kona campaign was to add 2 more employees, as well as raise enough money to pay for them for the next 3 years. So if everything goes wrong economically, they're good. They got jobs for another 3 years. And on top of that, we're making a grant to each employee, which is effectively a legal retirement contribution. So I can't call it retirement. It's being structured, but simplicity for your listeners, that's what we did. So we're going to start writing checks next month to everybody that works for us. Right after Disney, everybody's going to start getting some very generous checks to really set them up for their life beyond the finish or their life beyond employment here.
I just want to thank you guys for what you do. And I just, it's amazing how it started with just Kyle saying, like, can people in a wheelchair, you know, do a triathlon? And it's grown from there. But I want to thank you for kind of like describing where the money goes. I think sometimes people feel like with a charity, they do things and it's like, I did it, I have this good feeling, but like, what did it do? And I know with you guys, it does so much for people who wouldn't have these opportunities otherwise. And thank you, Kyle, for just advocating and being who you are so that you can help people with disabilities, not just you, but other people who see this, to be able to believe and achieve and have the quality of life and be able to do everything that they want to do. So we're so glad that you guys are doing that. And I know you're going to keep doing it. I know that Dopey is a part of that. See, now my pea brain went off track, but we're going to circle back to all the amazing things that the foundation does. But let's stick with the Ironman World Championships. Brent, I want to know to you, how did you approach this training differently, if you did, from 2018?
The only difference was last year I spent more time doing strength work. I mean, I went into it with more muscle. I mean, I was heavier than when I did it in 18. I looked emaciated when I got to the start line in 18. And I think that had an impact. So I focused more on that. And then really, once we got into 2024, we went back to what we knew worked, which was it's a 14 or 15 hour day. And close to 70% of that is spent on the bike. So we just spent a ton of time biking. We've got the North Georgia Mountains here, the foothills of the Appalachian Trail. I bike up there as often as I can. Kyle and I did a bike ride all the way to Anniston, Alabama. We rode a trail here called the Silver Comet Trail, 95 miles start to finish. And then Kyle got a ride home and I turned around and rode back. So we did stuff like that, like just tons of bike volume, because it's just so much energy. And you talk about, like I briefly mentioned the marathon in 18. I wanted to have energy when I got to the marathon course this year, but you know, I never ran longer than 16 miles, I think was my longest run. So we spent more time just being on the bike, which is hard to do. Like mm-hmm. People, they want to have that 20 miler bank. They want to know, like, I'm ready for this. I did my 20 miler. I just have a lot of confidence with our coach Matthew and what we've done, that spending a blank ton of hours on the bike is really the best way to get it done.
Same side of that coin though, you know, obviously now we know somebody else talked you into doing this or suggested it to you, and that it was about obviously raising awareness and raising more money for the foundation and all of that sort of stuff. But you're going into a very competitive physical event that you've done before. Were there any different goals for you just personally, guys, did you have a time in mind? Was there one of the legs that you wanted to improve on? What was your personal goal to go along with these greater umbrella goals that you had?
Kyle could jump in here anytime he's ready, but because part of this he doesn't know. So, you know, I'm involved in the Everesting events where I met Carissa and you guys talked with Colleen. Because of that schedule, it was getting harder to just manage all the training. You know, I'd go to these mountain events and I'd have to hike. I wasn't training with Kyle, so I wasn't running, I wasn't biking.
So and hard it was just juggle it, that.
And it's hard. Look, it's a lot on my family. Mm-hmm. They're juggling a lot of stuff to make this work for us as well. My wife, my kids. And my coach said to me, he goes, well, do you guys want to break the record? Okay. So just quick side note, there's no official records for what we do. But in 2018, we knew what Rick and Dick Hoyt had done, the famous father son. And just personally, we thought, you know, maybe we could beat their time, and not that it would matter to anybody but us. But he asked me again this year. He said, well, what do you think? You guys going to go for it? I said, Matthew, we just want to experience this thing. We just want to appreciate it one more time, because this might be it, you know? And so that was kind of the mentality going in. Like I said, Con, I talked a lot about gratitude on that last big training ride. So we never went into it like thinking. But when we got off the bike, Mike Reagan, who's been helping us for 10 years, he walked over and he put his hand on my shoulder and he said, I just talked to Matthew. Matthew wasn't in Hawaii. And he said, the record's in play. If you guys average 10:47s on the run, then you can beat the time. Mm-hmm. And you guys owe it to yourselves to try. And that hit like a ton of bricks. And Kyle heard the last part. You know, you owe it to yourselves to try. And when we got on the run course, I said, hey, look, you know, when we did this in 2018, we ran. We were so excited. We took off like just straight out of the gate as hard as we could go. I said, I'm going to run really slow right now. I want you to just listen and we're going to strategize this whole thing. So now all of a sudden it's changing right before our eyes in the race. And I was like, but if you want it, like, we're going to get this thing. And for 15 miles that carried us, we were so excited. We were grateful. We were saying nice things to each other. And all of a sudden when we got into the energy lab, we realized we could do it and we just needed to keep taking care of it. So, we did end up beating their time from 1989. And that was just a cool moment to be able to say, you know, there's not a lot of people that have done this, and people may not remember that part of it. And certainly my kids won't, you know, so it's not that big a deal, but in the moment for us, mm-hmm. and all that we've experienced as brothers, and I'm talking about beyond the race course, that was just such a special moment, because all these interviews and everything, Kyle always talks about how he gets to be an athlete, but sometimes it gets lost that so do I. You know, I grew up just like Kyle, wanting to be an athlete just like him. And here we are in the world championships with, you know, the most elite athletes in the world taking on something like an Ironman, and to do it and say we did it in record time was pretty special.
A lot of people who we do these podcasts and interviews ask us about the Hoyt, and say for your listeners, what the Hoyt did was incredible. And they had paved the way for Frank and I and other teams to be the athlete and to be more, to help the sport grow inclusively. But where we beat the record by 18 minutes, it was the tip of the hat to them.
Yeah.
Because they really opened that door for us. And without their legacy, none of this would be possible. So I want to be very clear that, yes, we broke the record, but they will always hold the record.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Oh, that's well very put. Sweet. And then if you guys, listeners, if you have not listened to the first episode where we talked to Brent and Kyle, there's a beautiful story about when they met Rick Hoyt. So you'll have to go back and listen to that. Brent, before we dive, we want to break down your race, and we've done that a little bit, but I want to ask you a question about, I guess the word is fear. So whenever anybody does a big endurance event, like an Ironman, there are doubts, because with an Ironman, so many parts come into play. Just the bike, the swim, you know, it's just a day where so many things, and they usually do, something goes wrong. For you, you've got the foundation, you've got literally your brother on your back, and you're a coach, and some of your training and everything mindset was documented on you guys' YouTube series with Hyundai. But what was going through your mind? Were there any doubts? Were there any fears about this race?
I woke up Friday, the race is Saturday. I woke up Friday morning with probably the most pre-race anxiety that I can recall ever experiencing. I mean, I was like glued to my bed. I couldn't move. I was so anxious about the swim. And I grew up swimming. Like, that's how I came to endurance sports. And I couldn't move. And then I finally get out of bed, I get some coffee, and like, I haven't said anything to anybody. I'm not telling Kyle how I feel. And it is like ducks on a pond. I mean, I feel awful inside, and everybody's like, all of a sudden we get to our practice ride and there's probably at least a dozen people there with supporters, and like everybody's talking to us, and everybody, you know, everybody needs something. Everybody wants to talk to Kyle and talk to me, and it's getting worse and worse and worse. And I finally actually stepped away and called another coach friend, a friend of ours, Dawn, who does the Everesting stuff too. And I was like, I don't know what to do. I was like, I don't know how I'm going to start the race if I feel like this. And she's like, you're letting anxiety drive. She's like, you need to tell Kyle what's going on. You need to get, you need to realize that that's okay. You know this, and just let your calm and presence and confidence take the wheel. And so I kind of just tell Kyle, I was like, I'm just a little nervous. I'm okay. And he's, you know, he's dealing with his own stuff. And it really didn't finally play out until middle of the race. So I get through it. I mean, sitting there in the water race morning, and by the way, I got tore up by jellyfish.
We got it. We got like three questions from the jellyfish.
Yeah, we're almost there.
But like, so maybe the universe was telling me something that was coming on the swim. Cause like, I've still got a scar on my arm from one of the stings. But at mile like 60, as we're going up to Javi, the turnaround, I see all the white caps on the ocean, which means wind. And I say to Kyle, I go, Kyle, I'm just giving you a heads up, but there's white caps. That means it's going to be windy up here. And he goes, you don't need to worry about that. He kind of yells at me. And it like rocked me. And then immediately I remembered 18. I go, just listen to him. He's trying to tell you something. Like he's focused on getting you guys to finish. Do it. So like 10 miles later, I say to him, I was like, hey, remember on Friday, you know, I was really anxious. I was like, I was just trying to express to you what was going on. And I just needed you to know. And then you can take over from there. So I think it's normal, right? Like that stuff just flows through you. And that pre-race anxiety on Friday hit me like I've never been rocked before. And we've just got such a solid group of friends and supporters that, you know, between us and all of that, we could work through that.
Well, and Kyle, I kind of want to ask you the same question. Going into the race or even at race day, what of the race? I mean, you're out there for 14 hours. That's a long time to do anything. Did you have any concerns going into the race day?
Yes, I would get concerned that I had all my gear lined up for the day, you know, in the middle of getting ready for Ironman, my reality, like, is in front of me that I need help with everything, from going to the bathroom to packing all my gear and making sure, you know, I have the snack that I need. So yes, I mean, I have anxiety every day. So anxiety for me is I kind of compartmentalize it and, you know, focus on, you know, being positive, but also acknowledging the anxiety, right? You have to acknowledge it and you have to tell somebody, right? Whether it's prayer or a caregiver and knowing that this is real, that you are having, you know, fear, you're having you need a moment. And so I like walk away and focus on, you know, focusing on 1 mile at a time. Because if you look at the 140.6 miles, it's overwhelming. It can be overwhelming for anybody. But I get it. When I get that way, I go back to be quiet and focusing on what I can control, what we can control, you know, and the mental fortitude that it took me to keep us in the game for 14 hours. It was a lot, and it was draining.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that finish line speaks to me, and that's what kept me going.
I think it's such an important point to make too, because we have so many people at Disney who are running their first race and, you know, their anxiety, and they don't want to vocalize that they have the anxiety. And again, I think it goes from the elite runners who are going for a PR to people who are running their first race. I think it's important to say anxiety, that is a natural thing to feel before you do difficult things. And I love Kyle, compartmentalize that. Yeah, this is a part of what I'm dealing with today, but it's also something that can fuel you in a certain way to be able to compartmentalize that. And he said, this is a normal human feeling. This is what anybody doing a difficult thing is going to feel. So that's such a great way to put that. And I appreciate that. All right. You jumped ahead on us, Brennan. You brought up the jellyfish. And as a guy who learned to water ski in the Chesapeake Bay, I am not unfamiliar with jellyfish. And I have some scars myself.
You can water ski? You know,
yes, I can slalom water ski. Thank you very, very much. Good Lord, honestly. This is the disrespect I deal with on a daily basis. But jellyfish are an enormous, I don't think this has to be bleep, pain in the ass whenever you're in the water. Talk about the experience and what that was like and how you worked through that, because they're disturbing to look at, and then they're even more disturbing when they're crawling all over you.
I couldn't even see them. So,
wow.
Apparently somebody here that's listening knows way more than I do, but apparently, so it was just after the last full moon, which I guess they come out during the full moon or they're more present. I don't know exactly what the truth, I could go dad facts and just say that's true. But right when I got in the water, I felt something hit my arm. And I said to Zach, who was in the water with us, I was like, hey, was that a jellyfish? And then I think he got stung shortly thereafter. And so I just kind of took off out towards where the start area was, and then said to the lifeguard sitting on the paddleboard, I was like, are there jellyfish in the water? And as I ask, I get hit in my other arm and my leg. And now I'm just rattled. Like, Kyle and I had this beautiful story from 18, you know, about, I think we talked about it here, just being in the water together. Like, none of that was happening. Like,
it's
this was just
not beautiful. Not a Hallmark moment.
Panic is setting in, and it really kind of rocked me. I didn't realize how bad they were until I got out of the water. I mean, my arm was, you know, I had like a swollen blotch on my left forearm. It was everywhere. Iron Man was ready. I mean, they had ammonia. We put ammonia all over my skin. I think that definitely helped. But I was sitting there for the first 30 minutes of the swim or so, just every negative thought that you could imagine. I was like, I'm not going to finish now. You know, I'm going to pass out. I'm going to be so swollen from these. I hadn't been stung by a jellyfish since I was like 10 or 12 years old. I had no clue what my body was going to do.
I have a question. Like, how bad does it hurt? I don't know. I'm deathly afraid of the ocean. So
it felt like somebody kind of like snapping a towel on your skin, you know? And so it would just like, I just felt like this. I mean, it's a sting. Like, yeah. You feel it. And then it kind of goes away. And so I would feel all these like little pricks. And then once I got, I don't know if I would have kept feeling it, you know, if I got out versus swim, I don't know, but it was really more screwing with me mentally. I mean, it's a stressful reaction. Your body has a reaction. And so now my mind is reacting and I couldn't hear Kyle. There was like just enough chaos. I mean, there was drones overhead, helicopters. So I can't hear like
Kyle,
I could.
Kyle, are you talking to him and he just can't hear you?
Yeah,
the whole time.
Did you know?
I mean,
we
other races,
hear
I hear them. Like, it's just part of the routine. We have our method. But I'll just tell you, like, what one of the things that happened. There was a double amputee who they had told us was a good swimmer, and he passed us right before the turnaround. And I watched this guy go by with no legs. And I've been talking to myself so negatively. I've got the physical stress of these stings, and I just said to myself, I was like, whatever's going on, get over it, and just keep moving. Am I boring you?
No.
Well, actually, you know what? I wanted to ask Kyle, did you know about the jellyfish at the time? When did you become aware of the jellyfish situation?
I became aware when we started on the bike. That's when I became aware.
Yeah. And then at the end of the race, when I took my watch off and there was still a tentacle stuck to my wrist. Yeah.
Chris is about to faint
throughout the race. So I don't know like how that works science wise, like if it stings you and it comes off like that, if it stops stinging you. But I had a nice little scar on my wrist for a while as well.
I am very much like who is that? I am very much afraid of the ocean. So thank God I was in the kayak. The lifeguard would have been getting out of the pool.
We had these three friends, board members racing with us. They were part of the fundraising piece as well. And they started like an hour after us. And, you know, when we were all talking on Saturday night or Sunday, and I was like, did you guys get hit by the jellyfish? They're like, oh, no, you guys cleared them out for us. So like the PC division and the pro athletes like cleared out all the jellyfish.
I was going to ask that. Yeah.
that nobody that I talked to that started later dealt with it. So whatever we did, we made it easier for everybody else. So you're welcome.
Do you know about the shark, though?
No, the dolphins. There was no shark.
There was a shark. Yes. Oh, so there's, I saw this later on, a friend of ours, Doug.
It's a fair response. It's a fair response.
Swimmer. Just, I thought Kyle might want to know, and it might not have been with you guys. Apparently a shark was in the water and the dolphins literally blocked it from getting to you guys or like coming in that way. It's was the craziest thing. Like the dolphins.
I'm so glad I didn't know that.
Okay, you would have been out of the water anyway.
The dolphins were out all week, by the way. Have you heard about this?
No.
It was incredible. So we did the practice swim on Sunday. Kyle went and drove the course. He wanted to scout it. And I went and swam with a couple of these guys we were racing with. And I hear this like screeching in the corner of my ear. This is a week before the race. And all of a sudden, these two dolphins go under me. I mean, they were probably a couple of arm lengths away. I mean, it's the closest encounter I've ever had. And I was like so moved by it. I pop up. I'm high-fiving some other athlete. We're like, oh, my God, did you see this? And I tell my buddy Steve, I was like, did you see the dolphins? He goes, oh, yeah, 20 of them went under me. There was like a whole school and they stayed out like pretty much all week. And apparently they were there to protect us too.
Protecting you from a shark that was
wow. Out
there. So.
We don't deserve dolphins. We don't deserve dolphins.
We do not.
I'm telling you right now.
We do not.
Dogs of the sea.
Yes.
All right. So we've gotten the jellyfish. We've gotten the ammonia. We're ready to take on the bike, which is, as you've said before, the longest part of your day. And again, I think the bike is scary. I think we talked about this last time because there's mechanical things that go into it that are at times completely out of your control. So, Kyle, why don't you talk us through the bike? We talked a little bit about the wind, but what was the bike like for you?
Again, it was the most fun that I never want to have again. The bike for me is probably the hardest discipline and the most uncomfortable part of the day. Just because I'm not in a position that's very comfortable for me. And so I just sit there for 8 hours and my neck is compressed into my chest. So it's hard to eat, it's hard to drink. And I can make up every excuse why I don't ride the bike. But this time around, it felt doable. You could see the views and, you know, I just took it all in. And I was there for Brett when he needed it. And other times I just sat there peacefully, you know, and just was so grateful for the moment. It was truly one of the best bike rides that we have ever done in an Ironman race.
Yeah. Left out all the hard parts, but yeah, you nailed it.
We are always aiming to get you to that next finish line, and we've created an exciting opportunity for you guys coming up with Galloway Customized Training. Check the show notes for more information on how to sign up, and here's Chris with a little more about Customized.
Hi, I'm Chris Twiggs, Chief Training Officer at Galloway Training Programs and coach of Galloway Customized Training. When Jeff Galloway and I put together Customized Training, our goal was to offer the best value in professional coaching for runners and walkers. Starting from a questionnaire to determine your current fitness, goals, and commitments to family and work, I build a schedule that's perfect for you, but it doesn't end there. Each week with your feedback, I adjust your plan to help you reach your goals, and I introduce you to a worldwide family of customized runners and walkers who are cheering you on. I look forward to working with you and to being your coach and your biggest fan as we run, walk, run with Galloway Customized Training.
I want to know, Kyle, when you're on that bike, you've mentioned before, like, you know, you were conversing with Brent, Kyle, you're trying to get him out of this. How much does that back and forth go on? And how, you know, what are you thinking of? Like, what do I need to say to Brent? What should I do? Like, what is that mental dialogue like for you?
You know, it's really one of those that you feel it out on race day and you see the direction of the race, how great it's feeling. And sometimes it's an encouraging word, the other times it's a really soft love voice and how
Or if it's windy, he just yells at me.
Yeah. Well, when it's windy, that's not good because my voice is not that loud to begin with. So, like, if it's windy, he definitely can't hear me. So I lose my voice probably throughout the, like in the middle of the bike, I lose my voice. So a coach told me, you know, to take it easy on the swim because he knew that I was going to work extremely hard on the bike.
It's also like a lifetime. It's the advantage of being brothers and having such a close connection that he knows what to do. It's almost like an innate response. Like Brent's getting nervous. Like, I'm going to snap him out of it. I'm going to yell at him. You know, Brent's, you know, seems to be getting quiet. I'm just going to tell him I love him. You know, like that doesn't, it's probably the best conversation we've ever had in Ironman. You know, that we told this story recently, like we would get quiet and then one of us would go, well, I'm just so grateful for you. You know, and all we were doing is like, it was allowing Kyle to be present and take in the race. Like what's better than being in paradise like that? You know, I mean, we'll use Disney as a great example. When you're running and you're seeing these characters and the excitement of people and the joy that they have, how do you not soak that up? You know, if you want to put your head down and just run hard, fine, go there. But I promise you, if you look up and you appreciate what you're experiencing, it makes it so much easier. And there was such a deep appreciation that Kyle was experiencing from my view. From where I was sitting on the bike, I could see how much he was appreciating the experience, so that when he would say something to me, whether it was encouraging or quiet or just simply saying, I love you, it made the biggest difference in how I felt because we were both able to experience fully what we were going through, which was difficult, which was hard. It was windy, but it was like it never felt like we weren't going to be able to do this thing because of just what we were both experiencing.
I love that. I mean, I can't even imagine how hard it is out there. But just the time that you're out there is really, really the challenging part. So you get off the bike and that, you know, Brent, was there a huge relief when you got off the bike again? Because that's, you drop a chain, anything can happen. You know, how did that feel getting off the bike? And we talked a little bit about knowing that record was in play. But to get off the bike, did you have that feeling of, okay, I got this?
No, but I was having such a good day. Like I was just so happy to like see people again. And
you just got stung by like 100 jellyfish you were in and now we're like dancing on rainbows.
I'd forgotten about the jellyfish by the time I got the bike. I truly just stopped thinking about it. And like now that I'm saying this out loud, I remember I was having trouble gripping the run chair with my right fingers. And I have no idea if that was just from the bike or the wind or if it was the jellyfish, but I just remember like, I kept having this irrational fear that I was going to lose control of the chair. And so I would hold it with one hand and try to wipe my hand on my sweaty shorts. And eventually I just started running with my hand with the bar into my palm without gripping it to just keep some pressure so by the time we got off the bike, I was just happy. And when Mike walked up to us, there wasn't a moment for this reaction of like, so sweet relief or whatever. It was this moment of, hey, you're here and we're all fully present. Mike was present, Zach, Matthew, all these people that were our families, everybody was fully present in what we were doing. And when Mike said what he said, you know, that came through Matthew, like when those words hit us, it was like, okay, we can stay present for 26.2 more. Mm-hmm. We can do this because we got the strength of our family and our friends and everybody that's with us. We talk about that in races all the time. Hawaii is 6 hours behind where we live in Atlanta, mm-hmm. where y'all are.
Yeah.
We think about like how people are seeing us. We talked about Colleen. I was like, Kyle, Colleen's
probably
on the
stalking.
Microphone.
I mean, everybody at 29029, because I was in Stratton that weekend. Right. Like there right. was so much love. And I think we were both talking about you guys on the mic. Like you guys were just, the community loves
that.
You. And like, we were just that. Really like, it was cool to be a part of that community. It was like we were support. It was like we were there with you, but like not there, but freezing cold on a mountain. But the same thing.
But I mean, you guys know this because you hear it all the time, or I hope you hear it all the time. Like your role in those settings is trying to get people to feel the things we are experiencing, to not be anxious all the time. Don't spend the entire 5K or 10K stuck in your feelings of anxiety. Try to let your feelings of deep appreciation or love come out. And Kyle does such a tremendous job when we're biking together that when we got off the bike, like we were both so present. and going out to take on the challenge. I mean, a marathon after 112 on the bike, it sounds absurd until you realize you swam 2.4 and got stung by jellyfish. And now it sounds ludicrous.
Yeah.
But we're like, we're doing this. And so we feel that energy from Stratton. We feel it from the, from our friends and families that are in Atlanta. And like the first 15 miles, I don't know that any of us, that Kyle and I said a single negative thing to each other. Like there was no moment of like, oh my God, can we do this? We're in 18. It was like, it was fear stricken and walking and not speaking to each other and feeling both of us stuck in our own feelings. And it took us all of like, I think 21 miles to figure it out in 2018 till we finally were like, okay, we're ready for this moment. And in 24, I was like, we're taking it all in. We're going to experience this thing fully together, as hard as it may be.
I think when you do an endurance event, in my experience, there's always a moment in the race where you shift out of that anxiety and your brain's like, oh, I got this. Like you get that, like, I got this moment. Kyle, did you have that on the run at any point? Like, of just a relief of like, no, we're doing this. Like we got it. Like nothing can stop us now.
Yeah, when we got off the bike, anytime we get off of a bike, we did that 10 and a half hour cutoff. I know we got it. Not the style cocky or anything, but getting off that bike is a big hurdle for us to continue with our day. So I know that when we get off the bike, then the sky and the women. And Nancy was like, we owe it to ourselves. We owe it to everybody that has supported us to go out there and give it all. And that's all we know how to do. So whether it was a record or not, we owe it to ourselves and our commitment and our love for one another to continue to push beyond our limits and see what our possible was.
It really is remarkable, and it's so inspiring. And Kyle, I have to ask you, all those years ago when you said, hey, do you think somebody like me could finish an Ironman? Did you have any idea, or can you wrap your head around what it's become? You mentioned the community. Your foundation, your community is growing daily, and it's just a remarkable thing. What does that do for you outside of just the physical aspects of what you get to do, knowing that it's just become this really cause celeb in this rapidly growing community?
You know, I'm really glad that you brought that up, John, because that's what excites me every day is seeing these people. And by the way, 2024, we doubled the number of athletes that we served. And so it gets exciting. It gets me, I'm amazed that, you know, I get to work here. I get to work with Brett. And I get to help people forget about their disabilities for an hour and a half or 2 hours, however long the event is.
Or 14 hours.
They get to be included and they get to be the athlete, whether it's you know, going for the best time or just another athlete just coming for the experience, the hotel and the donut. You know, everybody has a purpose in our foundation, and it's important that we recognize them and that they feel a part of the KPF family.
It just truly feels like something that was just meant to be. Like, it just, you were put on this earth to have this impact and to have a brother that, like we said, like, can support you in this way and continue, you guys grow together as athletes and you continue to grow what the Kyle Peace Foundation does. You are coming back to see us. I know it's just to see our start line show because it's so riveting. 2025 World Distance Run, to see it four times. Kyle Peace Foundation is coming back. So, Brent, tell us about what you guys will be doing in January and about everybody that's coming and what we get to see at Marathon Weekend.
We're all in on y'all's start line extravaganza.
All
in. We had no idea what we were getting into last year. And now we're like, we're coming back and we're never leaving.
And I can't, and we can't wait for the costume.
Yes.
Me and Britt, we do not wear costumes. And we'll be the first one to tell you. So we're excited to see what you two will be wearing each of the 4 days.
It's really turned into a wonderful opportunity for us to just put on display what, like Kyle said it, we get to include people and we get to make them, allow them to kind of to forget about what they deal with and physical, mental, whatever it is. And so we're going to have 15 teams at the Kyle Pease Foundation. We've got several that are doing the dopey. We've got a bunch doing every other distance as well. And then we've got six people of our 15 are doing the dopey. So we got a big crew this year. But then we've got a crew that's helping raise $100,000 a year for the Kyle Pease Foundation to support all of the racing throughout the entire calendar year. So it's just turned into a tremendous opportunity to meet new people that have not been exposed to us, that want to participate in this amazing weekend that you guys put together. It really is. We talked about it at the 5K last year. When we hit mile one, I see this huge line. And I was like, I've never seen a line for a bathroom, Kyle, like this. at the start of it, usually it's the start of the race, not like when the race is going on. And then we realized it was the line to take a photo with Mickey. It was mile one of the 5K and it was Mickey Mouse. And I was like, oh my God, this is why everybody's here. It's this fully inclusive experience for them too. Like they're all athletes now. And that's what the Kyle Pease Foundation is doing with you all in partnership with Disney to put that on display and expose more people to what we do.
It leads into a question I have for you, Kyle. I wanted to ask you, the start line and the host notwithstanding, we all agree that's the gold standard for everything anywhere in human history. But what about out there on the course? And I've done a 5K and a 10K. Carissa has done the half, but we don't get to see, neither of us are ever going to get to do dopey because they're not going to let us not announce for that
long. I'm going to try, but...
Yeah, you're going to keep asking and they're going to keep saying no. But Kyle, out there, the dopey challenge, those four races, what was your, do you have a moment that you enjoyed the most? Something that really stands out?
Yeah, absolutely. I was at work yesterday. I would get published part time. And I was, one of my customers was asking about what we were doing next. And I told her that we were doing dopey. One of the coolest moments for me was in when you go into Magic Kingdom.
When you go into Animal Kingdom with the roller coasters, watching people.
Magic Kingdom.
Sorry, through the castle.
Through the castle.
Yeah.
And when you go into Magic Kingdom, you see the statue of Mickey, and then you see the Magic Kingdom all lit up, and it really takes your breath away. You're like, wow, this is the most magical place in the world, and it gets so cool for our families and athletes to go there, and again, thinking about what they're going through and just being able to feel that magic that Disney provides.
It does. The castle is, I've gotten to run through the castle twice. And I think that moment, especially also the people lining Main Street USA, and I'm sure they're just like going crazy for you guys. But a funny story. So with the concept of trying to be present, I ran them half maybe 2 or 3 years ago with Weston. And my goal for any half is I want to be under 2 hours. Like that's my goal. But I got to Main Street and I was like, let's be present. Let's take it in. Let's take a picture. And Weston like kept pushing the wrong button to like where it blacks out the screen and doesn't take the picture. And then I was 25 seconds over 2 hours. But I was present.
You were very present for 2 hours.
Was
and 24
so present
seconds.
If he had just put on. No, I'm just kidding. But
and Weston's paying for that to this day.
I know.
Everybody keeps score, John.
Yeah. All right, two more questions. One, is your family coming this year, Brett? I think they were there last year.
They were there last year. They can't this year. My wife's a teacher,
so later.
She took off all her any day she can take for Hawaii this year.
Okay. makes sense. It'll be easier on you, actually. You'll get to rest more.
Yes,
because I remember watching last year.
Exactly. Exactly.
Other question I have. Kyle, go ahead.
No, I'm going to say the kids had a ball, but I know that Erica is thankful she's not going back to Disney again to deal with all the craziness with the kids.
It's a lot. The kids and the dopey at once. We need to have another name like for that challenge, because that is a challenge. When you guys are bringing so many Kyle Pease athletes to these events, Kyle, what's the camaraderie like between you and the other athletes?
We're going to actually, so we talked about this. I'm going to jump in front of Kyle, because we talked about this a little bit, that with the way those races go versus like your local 5K, it's actually kind of hard to have that experience that like we're all doing stuff together. So we want to just figure out like whether it's meetups after the race or like hanging out until everybody's finished, because it's such a production getting everybody to, like, you know, Zach is getting up at, he's on y'all's schedule. He's up really early to get the truck stage, to get all the chairs out, to then meet everybody. Everybody's got to be there by 4:30.
Sometimes he has to wake up people.
But yeah, or this year will be early. But anyways, like, so we still want to be able to create that and have more of that experience. We were able to get a couple of families into the park last year, but just doing some more of those experiences, because as Kyle said, it is really a magical race experience. And just to carry that off the race course a little bit more, because we don't always end up, we're never running together in a group of 15. Not like that. So, and even the way they stage the start, right? We all split up pretty quickly. So we're gonna work on that, because this is a race that we want to be part of for many years, because of the what it creates for the foundation, but also what the athletes get to experience.
Yeah, it is. We say that about, and there are a lot of great races all over the country, but we do have a really unique experience at Disney. And one of those unique things for you guys was you will have to be a part of a Tracy Wu interview at the starting line.
And
are you prepared for that?
Oh, I was going to bring that up. I love Miss Wu. I think he brings the energy that you two so much do as well. And I can't wait to see her again.
Well, I know she's going to be excited about it as well.
Britt, we want to know, are Shorty Shorts making an appearance?
Yes, they are. They will be out and ready. My uniform. That is my outfit. So,
and for the record, other people dress us. So please don't judge. Other people dress us. All right. We're going to go to our questions that we've asked you guys these before in the last episode, but I want to ask it this way to you. We talk about motivating yourselves when you get to a hard place in a workout or something. And Kyle, you deal with things that you have to go through on a daily basis, struggles that other folks don't always have to. When you get to a rough spot in anything, Kyle, what do you use to motivate yourself to keep going?
For me, I do a lot of prayer and meditation, so that kind of get my juices flowing. And then, talking to Brent, I have a front row seat to one of the best guys that I know, and I get to see him. I get to see him do the dopey, get to witness him do his Ironman with me. So it's stuff like that keep my juices moving and turning.
Good answer. Now, Brent, you obviously you're doing difficult things, Ironman, but you're also you have the extra added responsibility of doing this with your brother, and I'm sure you hit those points where it's like, my goodness, I have hit a wall. What do you use to motivate yourself to keep going?
It changes. It evolves over time. I mean, in the beginning, it was like, we had to, do the Vince Lombardi speech and get ourselves amped up. And now, having been doing this since 2011 together, it really is just about being grateful. Like, it's almost like I heard this said in a slightly different way, I think, but it's like, when the pain comes, I'm excited, because that's what we signed up for. Like, I want to suffer. I want it to be hard. Kona's great for that. You know, mile 18 of a marathon, mile 20, like that's the stuff that's what you want to see, is what can I do when it is hard? And we've failed at that as many times as we succeeded, but We just spent a long time talking about Hawaii. I mean, we nailed it. We nailed every ounce of suffering we could to do it. And when we come to these races, it's more about not running away from those, but seeking out those opportunities to succeed.
I said this on an interview a couple of weeks ago. You know, we all have an invisible wheelchair. We all have something that we struggle with. You know, I don't know what it is for you guys, but, you know, mine is clearly noticeable. But we all are struggling through something. So are you going to let it stop you, or how are you going to get back on the horse? And I think that's a critical piece to enjoy sports is, when it gets tough, you gotta keep moving, you gotta keep going. So we all have a wheelchair and I'm overcoming.
Man, Kyle, you got some gems today. You are just like, you are quote worthy today. But I just thank you guys so much for joining us and for sharing your story, because it's inspiring, but it's motivational, but it's reflective, but it has like brotherly love and family. And it's just, it's everything. It's like a Hollywood movie, just I'm sure waiting to happen. If people want to get involved, if they want to support the Kyle Pease Foundation, what is the best thing we can do?
Go, you're doing it. I mean, that's what we always talk about, is amplifying the voice and amplifying inclusion. So following us on social, go to kylepeasefoundation.org. You can connect with us every possible way there. You can donate, you can sign up to race with us. You can sign up to join us next year in 2026, I'm sorry, for Disney. So we've got tons of opportunities. We do 40 plus events a year, lots of different ways to get involved and share your time and talent and donate as well.
Well, Weston and I are committed to doing a race, hopefully this year.
We're excited to have you.
So I just got to look at the calendar and find one that works. But you guys are absolutely amazing. And then tell us a little bit, if people heard your story, they want to go back, they want to watch your Ironman journey. I know we can do that on YouTube. So tell us about that.
So we did a really fun, exciting partnership with Hyundai this year. So they did a 6-part video series. So the first 5 are out. The 6th one will be out towards the end of the year, beginning of next year. I've seen a preview of the 6th installment. It is fantastic. It's the race experience, but it's a really special way to actually capture this whole journey. So everything that we've been doing, but includes our family, includes the foundation and the whole team that supports us. So it's a really unique way to just experience this. You can watch all of them on our YouTube channel.
And yeah, we would love for you to come up too and wear your crazy costume cut off. Some of our athletes
will
absolutely go crazy for that.
Well, it is a goal, and I'm going to make it happen this year. That's my 2025 goal. But I'm going to need Weston to do it with me, because I don't know if I could push somebody the whole way.
Well, listen, guys, thank you so much for joining us. It's so great to get a chance to talk to you again. We're so glad you're part of the 321 Go family, the Run Disney family, and that we're a small part of the foundation, and we'll continue to promote that. And we look forward to talking to you down the line. I'm sure we're going to get you on after Dopey to see what that experience was like for a second time. Yes, we should have Tracy on as well. We'll work that up for the post race analysis. But thanks so much for taking a little bit of time, guys, and happy holidays. And we will see you in, gosh, what is it, like
three weeks.
Under 4 weeks now. Yeah. At this point. Oh, time flies, gents. Thanks so much for joining us, Kyle and Brent.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, athletes, here's the drill. Time to shape up your diet. Carissa, give them the goods.
All right, John, we're ticking close to January, and that means we reevaluate everything and we kind of set forth with resolutions. Do you even make resolutions anymore?
I've made the same resolution since I was 18 years old, and that was that I would read cover to cover.
I knew you were going to say that.
James Joyce's Ulysses. I failed again last year. This year, though, I got 3 weeks left, though I don't think I could get through it in that amount of time. So I will throw it out there again to the universe. But as far as other resolutions, rarely,
yeah.
You know, I'm rarely kind of the resolution guy, but that one's out there again, folks. John will not be able to read as much as he wishes he could. James Joyce's Ulysses.
What if you listened to it on an audiobook while you were running? You don't count that?
I do not count listening to a book on tape as reading a book.
Well, that's not the point of this talk. The point of this talk is to discuss resolutions, and that most of the times they fail.
Right.
Health related, they're usually health related, But I want to tell you why they fail now so you can reevaluate. So it's
okay.
Unrealistic goals. Reading a book that you know you're not going to read. I want to lose 50 pounds. I want to run a tour marathon. When it is this high, high goal, it doesn't mean you can't get to it, but you've got to create the ladder to get there too, so you keep that motivation going. And that leads to the other reason they fail is a lack of a clear plan. So you would need, and let's use the book as an example, X amount of pages in January, X amount of pages in February, like making those steps. And when we hit a step, we feel motivated, we keep progressing. And then the other thing you need is support. I should support you better on your goal.
At me every time I say,
I know, but
I'm going to reach it.
And we're using this as a metaphor for other goals. So I don't want people to not set New Year's resolutions. What I want you to do is set monthly goals for January. That's what I would like you to do. And when we get to like Disney World, like living in the Run Disney bubble, my new year starts after marathon weekend. Like that's when I can reevaluate health goals. So for those of you listening, get through Dopey, celebrate the week after, sit down. What have you done well in the last year? Where do you know you can improve? And maybe let's make a couple of goals. If there's a nutrition related, I do want to help you. And I want to shout out the Healthier You class of 2024 because they have done amazing things. I'm so proud of them, of the weight loss, of just the feeling more in control of food. So if you would like to be a part of the next class of Healthier You, I would love for you to join. We're going to have two chats in January. So there's going to be one before Dopey, one after. Go to GallowayCourse.com, use the code podcast. It'll get you $150 off. But if you use the code podcast between now and January 13th, you're also going to get a free 20-minute consultation with me so I can help you set those goals. And I don't do that a lot because I don't have a lot of time, but I wanted to make it for podcast listeners. I wanted to give you guys a little something special. So use that code podcast, GallowayCourse.com. You're going to save money and get a 20-minute consult with me so we can get you going on a positive direction. And if your goal is to read Ulysses, maybe John could help you.
Not the person who's going to be able to help you.
Okay.
That.
Well,
if you could help me, please reach out to 321 Go the podcast. That would be great. Any English teachers out there, that'd be great. That'd be really good.
Athletes, listen up. It's mail call time. Announcer free, present.
All right. Today's comment comes from our listener and supporter, Megan, who's getting ready to do her first Dopey. All right, Megan. She says, I'm a Galloway runner. I've been super diligent with my Dopey training. The other day I was finishing a run and my neighbor said, my husband says that he sees you out here and you're always walking. Ouch. It's hard to get in an email or
yes.
Is that passive aggressive?
Well, so Megan found it both discouraging and encouraging because she said she has been training. She does Galloway. And in this was her longest, it was a 40-mile week she'd done. This was her longest run. Her last 3 miles were 2 minutes faster than her average pace. So Megan's really proud of what she's been doing. Then the neighbor makes this comment. And I asked her, like, well, you know, what is our point here that we want to get across the 3-2-1 go? And she said, don't say shitty things to people who are doing way more than you are. And also, when you see someone walking, it doesn't mean they've given up. Could be intentional and part of their strategy. So shut the F up, LOL. So
wow. Okay. Now see, and I try to think the best of people despite my, you know, my exterior, but I'm thinking, well, maybe, you know, maybe it was in the spirit of, you know, oh my gosh, people don't get out and walk anymore. They're always riding, driving everywhere. And my husband says he sees you out here walking all the time and good for you.
I think
but
it was
of course,
more...
I immediately like you. I took it as well, go screw yourself. What are you doing?
But I think this is a bigger lesson we can have. The Galloway method is run, walk, run. People are going to walk. Never, ever, ever judge someone about the pace if they're moving forward. If anybody is going out there, putting in, training for something, has a goal, support them. Support them. There's no room for passive aggressive on the Run Disney race course this year.
Well put.
Thank you, Megan, for your story. We are proud of you. And I enjoy when you walk because I know that you're lowering your lactic acid threshold and you're preventing your risk of injury. And she clocked an 8-minute last mile on her 20-minute 20-mile training run. Excuse me, now I'm on her 20-minute, 20-mile.
She should have so got up in the Kool-Aid of her neighbor. You just did. You know what I just did when you were in there just endlessly watching television?
This is not the point, but I've always, when I do long, long runs, I want my shirt to, like, show how many miles I've run. Like, I'm literally on mile 18. Don't give me that look. Like, I want people to applaud me when I run by, like, on mile 18. Like, but they don't know. And sometimes I want to tell them. And then when people go by on bikes when I'm really tired, I just really wish I would have picked a different sport sometimes. But kudos to you, Megan. She also was out there running in her costume. So we shared a photo of her and her little mouse ear. So Megan's doing everything right. I think the neighbor's suspect.
That's right. Just, you know, Megan, when you get back and you have all those medals around your neck, wear them around your neighbors a lot. So you see what I'm doing? I'm walking with all of this weight around my neck because of what I achieved. What have you been doing? How were those Cheetos you were just eating while watching television on your couch? By the way, I resemble that remark.
Yeah. Well, if you've got a passive aggressive neighbor that you'd like us to talk about here on the podcast or a question about anything, email us 321gopodcast@gmail.com. Also, if you want to find out more about how you can support Brent and Kyle, they will be out there at the race with all the Kyle Peace athletes. We can connect you with them. I'm sure they would love to chat with you. And that's what we got for today. It was an amazing episode. Happy holidays. Happy Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. Happy Kwanzaa. Such a joyful time of the year. And for us, it kind of the joy keeps going because marathon weekend's coming.
Marathon weekend is coming, and Chrissy, you'll be very, very proud of me. Spotify let me know that I am in the top 22% of Taylor Swift fans for downloading and listening to Taylor Swift songs for the year 2024,
what a year.
The year I became a Swiftie. All right, thanks for tuning in, everyone. Before we wrap up, we want to give a special shout out to our friend Sarah Akers with Runs on Magic. Now, Sarah is a passionate Run Disney enthusiast. She loves nothing more than helping you plan those magical Run Disney weekends. But with her expertise, the possibilities are endless. Whether you're dreaming of a honeymoon escape, an all-inclusive girls trip, a boys trip to Las Vegas, a family cruise, international adventure, whatever it is, Sarah is here to make it happen. Best part? Her travel planning services are completely complimentary. Sarah creates personalized itineraries and specializes in Run Disney, Universal, and cruise vacations. And for our listeners, she's offering a special promo. Use the code 321GO when requesting your vacation quote, and you could receive up to a $200 Disney gift card or booking credit, depending on your destination. You can connect with Sarah on Instagram at RunsOnMagic for the latest offers and more, or reach out to her directly at runsonmagictravel@gmail.com. Thank you so much, Sarah. Couldn't read Ulysses, but I became a Swiftie. Thanks, everybody. Have a great holiday, and